Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, it's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, our special Sunday edition. Today is Sunday, June 11th, 2017, and we thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the opportunity out of your evening on a Sunday, quiet, hot Sunday evening here in Baltimore, Maryland, this D.C. area. We still at 90 degrees at 7 o'clock at night. So I figured I'd come in the house in the air condition and share some insights and wisdom, and I bring my brother, my friend, Elder Mark Gaines is going to be joining us tonight. We're going to talk about some issues. We're going to talk about marriage, specifically for the husbands out there and for those wives who listen to our show. We're going to talk about seven secrets that could change your marriage. And we're going to share some wisdom, share some insights. If you're listening online or like to join us and share your wisdom and insights and input and things going on in your marriage that would strengthen it, you can call in at 646-668-2636. So you invite you to join us. As always, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr and listen to the broadcast there or on. Also, you can listen to all our broadcasts, all our archive broadcasts from the last, going on 2 years now. So we invite you to join us and listen to those last broadcasts. I hope they'll be edifying to your spirit, edifying to your life, and edifying to your marriage. Amen. You also can contact us on Twitter at Issue Men's Talk. It's Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to start with, I want to read a devotional and a prayer from Dr. Tony Evans and his 30 Days of Marriage Prayers. And since the day is the 11th of June, we're going to go for the day 11. So we're going to start there, and then we're going to get into our conversation. The scripture for today would have been Genesis chapter number 2, verse 24. And it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the prayer for today, Dr. Evans has put into this devotional, is as follows. And I pray that you pray this over your marriage also. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us to each other in marriage. And we pray that your plan for us to be one flesh would be expressed in every area of our life, starting with our vows and commitments to each other. We pray for purity. We pray that we would honor each other completely and that we would put each other's needs in front of our own. Lord, grow a trust relationship between us that would be unbreakable. We pray that when others look at us, they would see you in us and a closeness in our union that doesn't come from the world. Reveal any false intimacies in our relationship and replace it with exactly what you had in mind when you created us for each other. We have the husband's prayer tonight. It would be, Father, help me to love my wife like you love me and to give up even my life if you call me to do so. Until then, help me to die to any selfish way that would keep my wife from trusting and following me as I follow you. And for the wives, Lord, help me to respect my husband and trust that he has the good of our family in mind with every decision he makes. Help me to follow him as he follows you. Make us one as you are one. Amen and amen. Again, that was from Dr. Tony Evans, his 30-day marriage prayers. It's something me and my wife went through, and it's 30 days of just going through and praying, specifically pinpointing areas of your marriage that we need to pray about, that God would move in. And even if in those areas we're struggling in, that we would, you know, we would take it to God, issues of life, that we always can take them to God in prayer, and he would do something different. Amen? Amen. Again, we thank you for joining us tonight. It's Sunday night. Elder Mark, how are you, sir? Good evening.
Good evening, sir. I'm blessed, and yourself?
Amen. Thank you for joining me tonight. I pray all is well with your family and everything there at New Vision for Life is going well.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, it is. To God
amen,
be the
glory. Amen.
Yes, it definitely is.
Amen. That's good to hear. Well, bro, and for those that are listening, this brother Elder Mark was one of our speakers at our Man Up event this past April, and his session was on marriage. And we're gonna pull some of the wisdom and some of the things he presented there on that Saturday afternoon at our one day conference. And we're gonna take some opportunity and chew and meditate on it and chew about it and share some insights and give a little bit more in depth on one section of this presentation. And that section we're going to talk about tonight is the 7 secrets that could change your marriage. And I think this is a compilation from, I believe you got it from the Bible study or from the, the 7-Minute Marriage Solution Bible?
7-Minute Marriage Solutions. It's actually a lesson and some information that was taught by a man who's done a lot in researching relationships and ministering. His name is Stephen Otterburn, and he actually did utilize an NIV Bible that gave devotionals, kind of like what you just presented from Dr. Tony Evans, that gives daily devotionals, and he teaches on 7 things. His wife actually, and him and his wife actually team up together, and they teach lessons on the 7 things that you can change right now, as far as today, that can begin changes, drastic changes in your marriage. Whether you have a wonderful marriage or whether your marriage is on the rocks, things can always change for the better. And he gives a lot of ideas, and I was blessed by it when my pastor shared it with me and my wife, and it has been something that we've implemented in every day of our lives, of our marriage, and every day we grow and grow. And I bless God that July the 21st will be 10 years of a wonderful, blissful marriage because of some of these things that we've implemented and that we've learned as we're continuing to grow in God and grow with one another.
Amen, sir. And, you know, that's what we talk about here, a lot of issues with men. So when we talk about marriages and husbands and being a husband and being a father, this marriage thing, first of all, let me say this. For the Christian, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit within us. If we are men of faith, if we are husbands who believe God, who believe in Christ, we believe the word of the Bible gives us the blueprint. It gives us the foundation. It gives us the structure for our marriage and for our homes. Are we just willing to follow it? Are we willing to do those things that we need to do to help our marriages be better and have the longevity? Remember, Christian marriage should represent the gospel relationship, because Christ has called his church the bride. We are his bride. So as we see that, as we betray that to the world, we have to come under the chains. Like the brother said, whatever state your marriage is in, there's always areas that we want to tune up. You don't want to be blindsided. There's those blind spots that we need to just check on. What are we doing? What are we looking at? What's the vision for our marriage, our purpose? What is God's? God put us together for a reason. We just didn't come together because we found each other cute. This is God had a plan for bringing the two of us together and how we would be able to minister to the world or to have a purpose and a plan that God brought us together specifically to fulfill. Amen? So one of the things we're going to talk about is I'm going to start with you. We're going to go down the list here, brother. So we're going to start with secret number one.
Amen.
And that secret, it says your spouse is more likely to change when you stop trying to change your spouse. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So many times we as men, and I heard this when I was younger, and I still hear it today, but we're always talking about how the wife is always nagging. She wants this, she wants that. And then we talk about what our wives aren't doing for us. And not once have we examined the fact that if we change some things, she may change some things. You know, our desire for intimacy. But how can we expect our wives to be intimate if she's worn out tired because she's doing everything in the household or dealing with the kids by herself when we say, oh, well, we're the breadwinner, so once we finish work, it's time to come home and sit down. Nowadays, we're both working. But the expectancy is the woman's in the kitchen cooking or that she's taking care of the kids or that she's doing this. And we still hold that one place we're supposed to be expecting our spouse to change. But we're never willing to change anything for ourselves. So if you really want your spouse to change, if you want your wife to change, or for the women listening, if you want your husband to change, change your approach. If you're willing to change your approach, then your willingness to change will give them a thought of, maybe I should try changing some things because they're trying for me. But if every day all you do is say, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change, and you're set in the rut that is you, you might as well just talk to a brick wall because you won't change anything. And they're not going to be willing to change either. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. You're right. And we have to look at it because a lot of listen, we're going to start. We're starting here early. But, again, the things that we struggle with in our marriage, if we're honest with ourselves, how much is it? It's just selfish. We want our way. We want what we want when we want it. We think we struggle with leadership. We struggle with the things, and it's basically a selfish. It's pride and it's selfishness. Because again, there was a time I share this a lot when we come together in couples fellowships and things. Sometimes you know you hear. Sometimes you have to get back to remember how you began. You know, I used to say it. You know, remember Eden. Before the children, before the bills, the mortgage, the rent, the light bill, car payments, having to go to work. Remember the Eden, before all that, the reason you came together, that love relationship, whatever it was, that thing that sparked you to say that we want to spend the rest of our lives together and have a family. And where are we with that? And if we have to remember, what's that like? We have to be in a place where, you know, we have to keep that thing, and we have to be able to be to tune up. And if we get off track, and if we get to the place where stuff is just happening to us, and it's just not working out, change, do something different. Don't keep doing the same thing and expect something different. I have a pastor told me a long time ago in a marriage counselor session, you keep doing the same thing and expecting something different is insanity. So when we do that in our marriages, find out where the weak spot is, find out the blind spot, whatever it is. And change what you're doing, how you talk to each other, how you treat each other. And even when we talk about time, spending time together in intimacy, how much stuff do we need in our schedule? And these are all the things we have to take into and start changing the atmosphere and environment. And as for the brothers out there, for the husbands, you set the atmosphere in your home. If something's not right, let's change the temperature. Turn it up, turn it down, put some more coals on the fire, whatever needs to be done. Change the atmosphere, and then you have your wife change. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's go to number two. Number two. Some of the biggest source of misery is not your mate, but your unrealistic expectations. I'm going to use this one for my newlyweds. You know, those people who have been married, let's say, under 7 years. And you're still in that trying to figure each other out, and you're trying to figure out life in the household and who's going to do the chores and assignments. And because, again, as when we get married, we're bringing two different lifestyles in the one house, how you were raised and how your spouse was raised, and now you're coming together to build your own home. And you might have the expectation of what your parents did or did not do. And then that brings conflict because you haven't discussed it. What do you say, sir?
Just to piggyback on exactly what you said, because that's truly the base meaning of your unrealistic expectations. Going into the relationship and thinking that your spouse can read the signals in the top of your forehead that says everything that you want, and that they should know you just because they're close to you. Love doesn't mean you know everything about a person. Love means you're willing to learn so that you can love the person the way they need to be loved. And when we don't, you know, when we take the time to start to understand our mates, then we realize even more about ourselves. But so many times we just expect that they know us. When I prepared for the lesson that we talked about at the Man Up event, I asked a few different people, different, you know, just things that they thought about in their marriages and even in those that dealt with divorce. And one of the young ladies I asked, she works at my job, but I asked her, you know, and found out she was divorced. I asked her what was one of the problems, and she said communication. And it's unrealistic to think that without communicating, someone knows what you're thinking. And she said her and her husband every day, her husband worked at night. Every day she made eggs for him the way, you know, that she had always learned how to cook. And after 5 years of their marriage, they were getting to the point where they're just, things are tearing apart. The kids are, you know, the kids were grown. So what they were staying together for was the children. But one day he said to her, "I can't stand the way you make my eggs." And she thought, well, I've been doing them the same way for 5 years. But that came from the unrealistic expectation of our husband to think that she would know what he didn't like if he never voiced it. And we go into our relationships like that. We don't tell our mate what we don't like or what we do like. We don't express everything that's going on, and we expect that they know. And then when they don't fulfill the expectation, we're disgusted or mad or ready to walk out the door, when all it really would take is for us to explain what we need. Explain what we're thinking, explain what we don't understand about them so that we build a better understanding and have a much better relationship. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, we touched on the biggie early. We only got to the second secret, and we already touched on it. Expectations. It's communication. I can't say it anymore. I've been married a couple years here. I've known folk who've been married 25 or more years. And I think that's one of the first things the first advice they give newlyweds, they give folk, is to talk it. Don't expect your spouse to know what's going on in your head. Don't expect your spouse to know that you don't like it, because we use, I'm not going to say women, I'm going to say both, husbands and wives. We try and use nonverbal things to let our spouse know what we don't like, facial expressions, attitude check, all that stuff. Why we have to learn to open our mouths and use our voice in our marriages. And I believe that the best, and that will deal with a lot of issues. Speak about it. Don't think they're supposed to figure it out. Don't try and do mental telepathy, and don't try and whatever. Communicate. Get out there, and that you can cut off a lot of things that eat at your marriage. The Bible speaks about the little foxes destroys the vine. You can kill those little foxes just by speaking what's in your heart and what's in your mind and what's going on with you and what you believe your marriage is. I know most pastors I know, most churches, and the pastors I know and that I'm in connection with and fellowship with, I know they do premarital counseling. So if you have not had premarital counseling or you went to premarital counseling, some of it is to touch on some of these things. So, I encourage every newlywed, I don't care if you've been living together forever, because once you get married, things change. But to do get the premarital counseling so you can have some tools in your toolbox to handle the rough times. And I believe communication, I don't know, it could be the big tool. It's the wrench, it's the hammer, it's the drill, it's everything. Because you can fix most things, most issues that come in a marriage through communication, from sex to money, to in-laws, to stepchildren, to all of it. Communication can be the start of the building block that will help you overcome because marriage is going to be, there's going to be obstacles. And again, we expect our husbands to do whatever. We expect our wives for a lot of things. But if we don't never talk about it, how can we expect somebody to do something that we haven't talked to them about? To me, it's crazy if we think about it. Because in other parts of our lives, in our jobs or in our school, we're given tasks, we're told what we need to be done, we know we've got expectations. And on our jobs, you're in school, you're given assignment. This is the class, this is the curriculum, this is what you have to do. But somehow when we come back to marriage and our relationships, we assume this stuff is just supposed to be osmosis. That's my wisdom for tonight. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We only made it to two, but we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep pressing. Again, if you can call in at 646-668-2636. If you want to share some insight, wisdom, to have some questions, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation, and you can share or ask a question. We'll see if we can help you and direct you in the way that God calls for marriage and share some wisdom. Amen? Well, number three, bro. Yeah. Wait up for number three.
Number three, your lifetime vows need to cover more than your sexual organs. When I read this, it jumped right out at me when I first read this and I was doing the research. And, of course, you know, first off, one of the things that I learned in premarital counseling, my wife and I, we had been intimate before going to premarital counseling, before deciding to get married. And we went to premarital counseling, and the first thing that the pastor said that we went to see said, you need to abstain from sex. And we both looked at each other like, what? Abstain from what? No, that's a part of our relationship. But then we learned something in that. So many times we have issues, we have problems, and this goes back to communication. We have issues and we have problems. And then we are in this heightened and we're in this emotional state as we're mad. And that emotional state and the argument can turn into almost a physical attraction, because now your emotions are heightened. And emotionally, your cure to your emotional problems is sex so many times. And what we tend to do is jump to sex. And you ever heard of, I'm sure you all have heard of it, makeup sex. And the problem with makeup sex and addressing just, we're just going to deal with our sexual gratification, the problem with that is we've never fixed the issues. So those vows that we said we would deal with each other in sickness and health, we would share in our finances, that we become one, all the vows that we have, we eliminate those when every time we have a problem, all we do is fix it with sex. All we do is deal with our sexual organs. Or even beyond that, we start to compare what our wife or what our husbands did to someone in our past relationships. We bring those sexual gratifications and we remove the understanding of our vows. We remove the commitment about our vows, what we said we would do, who we promised before God that we would be. When we said those vows, it went beyond just, I'll make sure you're happy in the bed. It's a vow that says, I'll make sure you're happy in life. And we lose that when we try to just fix everything with sex, when we try to address everything with our sexual organs. If my wife is satisfied or my husband is satisfied in the bed, then everything is good. But it's beyond just intimacy in the bed. Intimacy in a love relationship is about spending time, understanding the love language, the five love languages. I'm not going to go into all those, of course, but that's something I would encourage you all listening, the love languages. Understand more about your spouse and what makes them tick. What is the love that they receive and how do they give love? And that's something that goes, once again, back to realistic expectations. When you establish and understand the love languages that your spouse appreciates, it builds your relationship. But that's, once again, what comes to communication. You have to communicate. Your vows are more than just satisfaction satisfaction at night or when you wake up and leave. You're being satisfied or gratified sexually. It's about truly going beyond just satisfying the body, and actually you and your both your spouse are growing mentally and spiritually together. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. 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 Again, this was a subject we discussed at our previous Man Up event. And these are the things that we touch on with the brothers in the room. A lot of things were shared. A lot of things were dealt with there in that environment of men. And so, and here on Issues Christian Men Talk is why we encourage, support, and just think we should, this men's ministry is a place where we can build godly men and save marriages and teach men, mentor men, disciple men in these issues. Because when we talk about that, this particular one, was that our sexual thing, it's a lot of things. And the brother mentioned it. He talked about it. You know, the Bible says that love covers the multitude of sins, not sex. So true love covers a multitude of sins. But like the brother said, we use sex sometimes to cover up. We use sex to manipulate. We use sex to get our way. We use sex, like the brother said, makeup sex. I mean, makeup sex, you know what? Is it really, what is it? It but sex. Because sometimes you do it to just quiet the room down, change the subject, move into something else, but you really haven't gotten to the underlying root of the problem that you're having sex to make up for. What were you arguing about? And is the problem solved? Or do you put a Band-Aid on an issue and then, you know, you haven't really dealt with it so it doesn't come up again? Again, we talk about the little foxes destroy marriage. And then, you know, it's so much to it. Amen? But, again, we're here. We want to bring some light into the darkness. We want to look at your blind spot. And, you know, anybody who drives, somebody come up on your blind spot in your car and you try and change lanes, you know, there's sometimes we just don't see because we just don't talk about it. And this is what we talk about here. It's Christian and Talk. This is what we do at our Man Up events because we want to save marriages. We believe that marriages are the foundation. And when husbands are in their place of leadership in the home, in the community, in the church, as men, a multitude of problems that we're seeing in the culture, in the church, and in our homes can be solved. If as men, we were built up, we were discipled by the word of God, discipled by godly men, and told these things, especially our young men coming up, the next generation of husbands and fathers, some of them didn't have this at home. But if they're in the church, we have opportunity to teach them, to prepare them for life to move on. Because where we come from doesn't necessarily have to be where we're going. Amen? Because no matter what we've seen in our parents' homes, that is not necessarily going to be our home. And when we try to make it that way, that brings another whole bag of baggage. Amen? Amen. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on because there's so much can be said here, but we do want to touch on all these points. We're going to encourage the brothers out there. If your marriage is, if any of these things in your marriage you need to be, you know, talked about, taken apart, I encourage you, reach out to your pastor, reach out to your elder, start the process. I'll share this as we move on. You know, me and my wife, we both were not raised in the church, but when we came to the church, we were married almost 14, 15 years, but we still, with our first pastor, went through premarital and marriage counseling just because we knew we wanted to do it different than what we were doing and what we brought into the marriage. And we wanted to line up with God's word. So we thank God for them. And he took the time, even though we had years in, we took the time, we did the things, we went to marriage conferences, we went to, there's so many, a multitude out there, but I thank God that we had a pastor and a first lady and him and his wife mentored us and discipled us through to get our marriage to a place. And then I'll to say this, you know, as the pastor Nolan Henson and his wife Terry, that was able to speak into our lives because we looked at this first, we saw the example in their marriage and how they dealt with each other and what their marriage looked like. So we wanted to glean off of something that looked like it. So, you know, we also, that's another thing we have to make sure we're not getting information from folk who relationship is not what you don't want your relationship to look like that, so why would you listen to them? Again, would you go to a doctor who, I mean, I won't say a doctor, but would you go to ask somebody to do something for you who can't do for themselves? I'll leave it like that. And just you'd be able to discern that. Amen? Amen. Number four. Number four,
Amen.
The more you focus on your mate's past, the more likely you are to repeat it. I'll let you jump in there, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The more you focus on your mate's past, the more likely they are to repeat it. When you throw something in somebody's face, they constantly brings it up for them. Repetition, just like we learn by repetition. If you constantly throwing something in somebody's face, then after a while they're going to succumb to it. And this goes outside of scriptural basis, but there's a theory in criminology. It's called labeling theory. If you constantly tell somebody this is who they are, they begin to conform to it. So if you're constantly telling your spouse the way they were in the past, they're this, that, and the other, and this is all they did, and all you bring up is their past situations, with 90% of the time was things that happened before you and had nothing to do with you. They're going to start to repeat those very things. If you bring up, you were a dog back in the day, and you did this and you did that, then they'll start to think about those things, and after a while, those very temptations that they dealt with before start to come back, and they start reverting to those same behaviors. But what we have to understand is when we make a commitment to one another, we make up a commitment to not only to forgive. But forgive doesn't mean forget. But what forgive does mean is that you're agreeing and committing to never bringing it up again. So if you forgive your wife, if you forgive your husband of, let's just say, they were out all night with their friends and they didn't call you, or they, you know, something that they did that just really hurt your feelings, but you bring it up and bring it up and bring it up. So the next time after that emotional whirlwind that ended in the makeup sex and just used as Deacon for that band-aid over a bleeding jugular, when something else happens and you bring it up and then you start throwing things in their face, oh, and that's what you did when you were running around with your friends 2 months ago, when you didn't come home that night, that's what you must have been doing. Now that's something you said that you discussed and you forgave, but yet you bring it back and throw it in their face and expect that they won't repeat the same behavior. For both women and men, it's the same thing. If we're constantly told that this is our way of life, this is our behavior, we begin to believe that this was expected of us. Excuse me, tongue tied. That's what is expected of us. So we start to conform and do it. If you don't want your spouse's past to play forward into what you have now, don't bring their past up. Leave it exactly where it is in the past. Just as we come to God and ask God for forgiveness, you would never expect or believe or think that God will come back to you and say, remember when you did such and such? No, he forgave you. That's the same thing that we're called to do. When we say, I forgive you, when we make that commitment to say that I forgive what happened before, then you make the commitment to say, I will never bring that up again against you. I will never hold that against you because I've forgiven it and moved on, and we're developing a new future, a new way of life, a different entity, a different understanding, that we have a new outlook. We're going to dwell on what happened 2 years ago, what happened before we were married, who we were involved with before we met. All of those things are the past, because we all are going to come into marriage with baggage. We come into marriage with things that we went on that we dealt with in the past. And even for a person, not your spouse, but if you bring things into your relationship, if your expectancies are whenever you see trouble, you think about the past relationship that didn't work. You're expecting and then you shut down, or you begin to lash out at your mate because you see something that looks like what happened before. You can't do that. You can't have the expectancy that what happened in the past is going to bounce back up, so you throw up all your guards and you block off communication, because once again, then you've gone back to unrealistic expectations. You're expecting that the person that you're close to, the person that you're involved with, the person you're married to, is going to understand, or they're going to mistreat you in the way that someone else did simply because you see an issue starting. Talk about it, get beyond it, and don't bring the past into your present, because it's only going to block your future. Back to you, sir.
You know, sir, you know, I agree with what you're saying. That forgiveness part, that's when we talk about one flesh. Because the thing that hurts you And if you hurt your spouse, it hurts you. Because you're in this thing together. You know, it's something I learned a long time ago, and me and my wife has established. You know, it's me and her, and it's everybody else. It's us. We're one flesh, and it's me and her, if need be, against the rest of the world. And you have to get into that mindset. You got to get into that heart set to understand. And then when we talk about this, the forgiveness and bringing up people's past, there's two things. There's repentance. Repent. For my Christians out there, for my Christian brothers, what does repent mean? What have you been taught about what repentance is? It means turning around and not going that way, not doing it again. So the continue to come back to your spouse with, I'm sorry. You know, how many more times? How do you think that, are you really sorry if you keep doing the same thing? Amen? So we have to, again, check our hearts, where we are, and are we truly sorry, again, or what kind of atmosphere are we setting? Because we have to, one thing, when we're talking about this forgiveness and bringing up our mates past and doing and pushing the relationship, it's again, our wives, as husbands, once our wife doesn't respect and trust us, we're in trouble. And for a wife, I think those are the most two things we have to look out for. Because once she stops respecting and trusting us, we're pushing it uphill for the rest of our time until we get it back. And then without forgiveness, our wives can't come back. But then now, again, we said this earlier, it's about change. We got to stop doing those things that, you know, upset our wives. I talk to brothers all the time. I don't like to really throw men under the bus, but sometimes I hear young marriages talk about the biggest thing is all the women they call their friends that they knew them before they was married, and they don't think it's time to cut them off when their wife tells them they don't feel uncomfortable. They feel uncomfortable with you going, being around them, talking to them, and, you know, your relationship now, she looks at it differently, even if you work with them, because you're a married man now. You need to change your whole persona about yourself. But I hear brothers all the time make excuses, and then I say, okay, because your wife, if she told you, she communicated to you how she feels about your girl, so-called friends that are female, and the way you carry yourself around certain sisters in the church, you need to change. Start trying to defend what you're doing like there's nothing wrong. She said she don't like it, she's uncomfortable. So as a man of God and as a husband, you need to do something different. And the second thing, when we're talking about this, bringing up our past, we need to set up safeguards in our relationship. When we do some stuff that we ask our wife to forgive us, now, are we putting boundaries on ourselves? Are we putting the things in our heart and mind that we're not going to do it again? We're not changing. We talk about it. We come to an agreement. We set up the strategies and plans. You know, like you say, you know, you go out with your friends. If you're still, you know, if you're still hanging, I got issues with you anyway. But anyway, but you are, you know what? I put it this way. I don't care how old you are. If you're over 21 and grown and been married, whatever. Your wife needs to know where you are, period. You can't talk. You can't tell me nothing else. When you're not with her, she should know where you are. If you can't deal with that, and for you young brothers out there thinking you're getting married, if you can't deal for your wife to know where you are, that she ain't guessing, you're not ready to get married. And if you're in a marriage and this is a problem with you, you need to repent and you need to figure it out. You need to get some counseling. You need to talk to some brothers. And some brothers that have been married a while, not your peers who you hanging with all the time, who tell you you don't need to check in with your wife. That's just me. That's what I'm talking about when we talk about safeguards. Put some people in your life that look to support your marriage and support your relationship and helping you be a better husband. Amen? And then, amen. Again, for the men of God in the body of Christ, even for wives, if y'all do this and it's still not changing, this is what the church is for. This is where we have to start being selfish and prideful and ashamed. Because the church, trust me, I'll tell anybody this, I don't care. If you're in a good church, first of all, if you're in a church where you can't go to your pastor and seek counseling and help for your marriage, that you're going to listen to them, there's two things. Do you feel uncomfortable going to them? And the second issue is, are you going to listen and do what they tell you to do? Because if you're not, I think you should get out of that church. Because he's not your spiritual leader. He's not your pastor. He's not that person in your life. Because if you are in a church and you're your spiritual leader, is counseling directing you, you need to leave because he's not really your pastor. You're faking it. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you're serving. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're in a deacon board, an elder, or whatever. If your pastor can't come to you and correct and rebuke you, they're not really your pastor. But, again, this is why I have my own show and I don't have any sponsors. Amen? Amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. It's our special Sunday edition, and we're touching on 7 secrets to I could change your marriage. And we want to encourage the brothers out there. We want to encourage marriage. And for my sisters that are listening on the down low, you know, fine. But I still say, this is some of the things. Again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. You can /, you can tell them as far. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive. Also, you can reach us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Share your insights, your comments there. You also, if you follow us and link us there, you'll get alerts when we do our live broadcast and download our devotionals. We do devotionals every morning. We do on our Twitter page, also at Issues Men's Talk. So there's a lot of ways you can reach out to us and join us. And again, our normal broadcast schedule is Monday at 8 p.m. and Thursday at 8:30 p.m. And call it the same number at 646-668-2636. If you press 1 on your keypad, and you have a question or a statement you want to share, we'll be glad to let you come in and join us. Amen? Amen, brother. So let me see. Where we at? We're on number five. We're having fun here tonight. Amen? Again,
yes,
Elder Mark, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking time out. We got it going. We had to change the schedule. It's a special edition. Amen? So hopefully somebody is being blessed and some marriages will be pulled back from the brink and be taken off the fence, and they can just make a decision. Tomorrow morning, they can get up and call their pastor. Their pastor, we need to talk. Amen? That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
If that happens, we've done well. Number five.
As you said. Amen. Number five, the more fun you have out of bed, the more fun you are likely to have in bed. To say the least, sex is a very tricky thing for most couples. We do tend to get bored with just the monotony of just I want sex. Your wives, men, to your wives want more than just you to come home and say I'm ready for sex. I want to, you know, just to hop in the bed and want to bounce around. You have to enjoy life together. You have to become creative to do the date nights and the romance and the things that you did before you got married. You have to continue to do. You can't say, oh, we got married now, so hey, well, I don't need to dress up anymore. I don't need to take her out anymore. We don't have time for that. We just going to be intimate and I'm going to fall asleep or she's going to fall asleep and we'll wake up and start the next day. Sometimes you need to go out and enjoy a movie night. You need to go out and do something different than just the monotony of coming home from work, eating dinner, and laying down and going to sleep, or having your sexual encounters before you go to sleep. If all you have is sex, when sex slows down, the desire slows down, what do you fall back on? But when you start to build up things, you have a relationship where my wife is my best friend. My wife is my best friend more than because not only because we're close and we understand each other and we love each other, but we truly learn how to spend time with one another. And as I mentioned early on in the radio show, when I was talking about the sexual makeup sex that we were learning about being abstinent, what that did for us was gave us the strength because we didn't have the intimacy of sex. We had to find things to do to enjoy each other, to keep a spark, to fill that void. So we made date night. We would cook together. We would take walks together, exercise. One of the right now there's if you check online, forgive me if I'm trying to remember, but there's a couples exercise video that you can buy. It's very intimate, but it's for couples. It's something that's creative. You're exercising, you're building your body, you're getting fit, but yet it still builds intimacy, but you're not in the bed. It's not about sex. things like that are creative measures that you can do right now that changes even the desire for sex. Because when you're tired and you're beat down from work, you're beat down from all the things going around, the finances and all that, and if the only thing that takes your mind off of that is sex, when the sex starts to slow down, when it gets to get, when it starts to get boring, then all you do is think about those things that sex used to alleviate. So you got to find a way to just do something different. Like I said, I mean, it's as simple as saying, hey, babe, let's just go take a walk. Let's take a walk around the harbor, or go to, we live in the D.C. area, go to National Harbor and take a walk. Go out to dinner, do something different. Go see a play. Go jogging. However you, sometimes it might be as much as just going shopping together in Walmart. Men, I know you don't sometimes like shopping as much as the women do, and sometimes it might be vice versa. But if you do something that your spouse enjoys with them, that's a level of commitment to them, and that helps in even finding the love languages. You're spending time with them. You're doing what they want to do, and they're doing what you want to do, so that when you come together for what you both want, it's even more gratifying than you will ever believe. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. You know, that was very well spoken for a brother who's been married 10 years. You're doing very good, man. You're going to make it. You're going to make it, man. You're going to get at least 60 years in. I can probably
bless God. The only thing I change about my marriage is I want the number of years to grow. Other than that, I don't want a thing to change in my marriage. We just grow closer to God and closer together, and the years just get longer and longer because applying things like this and just our love for God and our love for one another has just really opened my mind to seeing marriage. I mean, the examples of marriage around me, my parents and my older brother and older sister, have always been that where they've been together. Divorce is not something that I see in my family, but some of us are not blessed to see that and don't have those examples. So these are the things that you can start to plug in, that you can start to utilize, that build your marriage. And once we finish those seven secrets, I would love to share one more thing with you, but I know we need to move on. So if you want to go on to number six, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. We're going to go to number six, but what I just want to share what you were saying. You know, I agree with what you're saying. Because there's one thing that in this, we have to remember. The spouse that we married is not going to be the same person as the years progress. I just want to say that. You know, we're going to all grow. You're going to grow. Your spouse is going to grow. But are you growing together, and are you growing closer together? Because the years that you have together is really where the one flesh process is taking place. Because if you be honest, I mean, everybody is all wonderful at the wedding, at the ceremony, but you're not there until life starts to kick in. You know, so I encourage you. Some of these steps that you implement them, you apply them, and continue to pray and continue to seek God. Yes, sir. Let's go to number six. What do you see, sir?
All right, number six. Being other-centered is the best thing you can do for yourself. It's very simple, very, very simple. It's something that we don't do regularly, but it's very simple. When you take the focus off yourself, your mate is more likely to focus on you. When you become unselfish, your mate is more willing to do things that satisfy you. When you sacrifice, your mate will sacrifice. And for the men, just like I talked about, you know, the Walmart, the shopping, whatever, a lot of us don't like to shop. We don't like to walk around the mall. We don't like to do this. But if you do something you don't like, you'd be surprised how fast your wife is willing to go to that sporting event you like. My wife loves to shop. I like to shop a little bit, but not that much. But when I go with her, I'll walk for as long as she wants to because I'm spending time with my wife. I'm spending time with my queen. And when I'm with my queen, I learn more about how to be a king. But on the other hand, now when I say, hey, babe, let's go to the gun range, she's willing to go because I made a sacrifice to do something she wanted to do. So now she wants to experience something I like to do. And that rekindles. That goes back to secret number five. Doing fun things outside of bed will make more fun in the bed.
because you're doing something, you're showing that you really appreciate and you want to see them happy. You want to see them in the atmosphere that makes them happy. You're not asking them just in the midst of them tired to satisfy you, to do what gratifies you and move on. But you're asking them, what can I do with you that will make you, that will allow you to have the energy to do something with me later? Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, that one there, number six, takes me. I jumped right to, as soon as I've seen it. It's about selfishness. But let me go to scripture, because I want to go to Ephesians chapter five, and number 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." For those men of God that are listening, those men of God who confess to be Christian, confess to be Holy Ghost filled, confess to be believers of the Word, call themselves men of God, that's it. So towards your spouse, selfishness must die. Self must die. Sacrifice. You chose to take this woman on to be your wife, to be your mate. You promised to honor, treasure, take care of her, provide for her. So that's going to take sacrifice. It's not going to be easy, because this is what I would say. To live up to a biblical standard is to have Christ within us, to be living in the Holy Spirit. Because the world can't do this. The world, the pagan, the non-believer, they can't do it. Even those marriages you see for people who confess and berate the Word of God, why are they doing it? Are they doing it to please God, to please themselves, or are they doing it to please their spouse? Because again, what we're talking about here is longevity, no matter the circumstances. Because all marriages look good until stress comes, until trials come, until the pressure is put upon. Then you find out what marriages are. And as we know, I'll be honest, there's brothers out there, there's wives out there, Christians, who got a lot of stuff built up underneath, keep it under cover, keep it pressed down, waiting for it to explode for some one reason or another. And we see it all the time when we hear about people who've been married over 20 years, over 25 years, and find out they have nothing in common, they're getting divorced. I'm just saying, if you don't know nobody that's been divorced, they have 25 years of marriage, God bless you. You're surrounded by good examples. But I've known folk who've been together 10 and 15 years who all of a sudden, it's not there. But they confess Christ. They confess to be Christians. They go to church every week. They're serving. But there's something underneath going. It's a secret life, a secret life behind doors. And these are where these secrets, that's what we talk about. These are the secrets that can change your marriage and get rid of those other secrets that you're carrying around in your marriage and in your relationship. Amen. Brother, number seven, what you got?
Number seven, relationship rebooting needs to happen every day. I'm very analogy-oriented, so I'm going to give a quick analogy that will show you what I'm talking about. In the age of technology, with any computer, every day or every so often, there's a cycle in which the computer will reboot to check out the programming, it's almost like a routine check to make sure that the programming, the hardware, the software, that all the entities that work for this technology, for this computer to do what it needs to do, has to reboot. It has to realign all the software. That's what we have to do in our marriage. We have to realign every day. And realign means we have to make sure that we're in line with God, that we're in line with our spouse, and that we are functioning on one accord. It doesn't mean that we'll agree on everything. It doesn't mean we'll see everything the same way. But it does mean that we'll come together to try to make sure everything lines up so we function to the best of our ability. And the best of our ability is receiving the abundance that God has for us. And what I wanted to say, I can tie in real quick. What this teaching comes from is the idea that you can spend 7 minutes a day with your spouse, and that gives you time to read your scripture, to do a prayer with one another, and in that prayer to ask one another, what can I pray for you about today? What that does is tear down some walls. So many times when we have our unrealistic expectations, when we have issues, we have problems, we don't openly talk, but we're willing to go to God, but we're quick to go to God and complain or ask God how to change and how to fix this. When we go to our spouse and say, what can I pray for you about today? You've torn down the walls because no longer are you trying to be the one to fix them, but you're trying to go to God on their behalf to fix your relationship and fix one another together. That's what rebooting is. It's realigning with God, with one another, to set your relationship in the most optimal working place. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You're right. It's rebooting. It's updating. You know, let me see. Windows started with Windows, and what are we up to now? We're up to Windows 10. So we see it in the practical. We see it in the world. We see it. So what about our marriages? Over the years, we're going to have to reboot some stuff. We're going to have to come at it differently. Hopefully we're gaining wisdom. We're gaining understanding. We're gaining discernment. The closer we draw to God, the closer we draw to each other. I was recently at a marriage retreat. I just wanted to share this real quick, and I'm coming to you, brother, and you can close us out. You know, there was a session we did at a marriage retreat, and it talked about if we put Christ in the center, and a husband and a wife are both looking towards Christ with Christ in the center, we're always seeing each other through Christ. So there we are. That's it. I mean, that's it. And we're always seeing our spouse through Christ and what God wants to do in them and using us to see them. If we have Christ in the center. Now, if Christ is not out the center, now we look at each other and we're not seeing the good thing. We're not seeing how God sees them. We're not seeing what God's purpose has for them, for the purpose of our relationship. Again, our marriages are not just called together so we can live together and save on rent money and, you know, and tax deductions. I'll just use that right there. Amen? Brother, again, I appreciate you for joining me tonight and being here in a special edition. And I'll let you close us out, and you can close us out with prayer.
Amen. Amen. And I do thank you so much for the opportunity. It's truly a blessing to share, and just it just makes me really appreciate implementing these very things in my own marriage. And like I said, it's guided me to a wonderful 10 years. So I pray that all of you out there that are listening to the radio show, to the special event, would just grow and receive and take that time to spend the 7 minutes together that you can change your marriage. Use these secrets. You can really change and make your marriage even better. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for an opportunity to come together, Lord God, for fellowship, Lord God, and just a chance to discuss, Lord God, and learn things about ourselves, Lord God, that can make changes in our very lives. We thank you, Lord God, for the people that put together the research, Lord God, the ideas, the thoughts, Lord God. We thank you for the time to discuss, Lord God, even the 7 things that we can do right now that change marriages, Lord God. For we know that the enemy is continually attacking the marriages to tear apart, Lord God, the very foundation, Lord God, the building of the family that you have called for, Lord God, for a man and woman come together, Lord God. For your word says that a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, Lord God. For you said, Lord God, that Christ, Lord God, loves, Lord, that we would love our wives as Christ loved the church, Father God. But we have to learn how to love, Lord God, learn how to understand, Lord God, so that we can truly be exactly, we can be Christ-like, Father God, that we can grow, Lord God, that we can do more than what we did yesterday, that we have revelation and discernment, hearing from you, Lord God, on how to operate, Lord God. So we're asking that you come into our marriages, Lord God, that you be the guiding force, Lord God, that you be the one, Father God, that will correct, Lord God, and change issues, Lord God, and give us a better understanding and revelation that we have a new vision, a new outlook, Lord God, on how to move even tomorrow, Lord God, or even before we lay to rest tonight, Lord God, that our marriages would change, Lord God, by implementing the things that we are discussing today. Father, we give you honor and praise and preach in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, sir. God bless you. And thank you for joining us. Join us again on Monday night at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. God bless you.
God bless.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.